Curtis, everyone has their preordained position. And everyone is in their place, except you.
That's what people in the best place say to people in the worst place.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Underrated Podcast. This is a podcast where we discuss the films that we feel are underrated, or perhaps underappreciated, or even the ones that have slipped most people by. This show is a collaboration of friends, and together we are the Undercast Company. Today we are going to talk about Snowpiercer, 2013 post-apocalyptic film about a K-Space passenger train on a never-ending journey around a frozen wasteland of an Earth after a failed attempt to solve global warming. This is based on a French graphic novel by Jacques Loeb, Benjamin Legrand, and Jean-Marc Jotel. The film was directed by Parasite director Bong Joon-ho, who also co-wrote the adapted screenplay with Kelly Masterson, and this marks his first English language debut, as I think it's 87% is spoken in English. This film earned $86.7 million worldwide, doubling its $40 million budget, and has a 94 on Rotten Tomatoes and a 7.1 on IMDb. Among some of the big names as Octavia Spencer, Ed Harris, Tilda Swinton, Jamie Bell, John Hurt, and Captain America himself, Chris Evans. It also is one of the many collaborations between Joon-ho and Korean actor Song Kang-ho. Besides touching on the obvious global warming issue, this movie, like many of Bong Joon-ho's films, touch on class systems that segregate societies around the world and what their effects are on the morality of human beings. So, guys, what did you think?
Do you want to go first, friend?
Yeah, I guess I'll go first. What can I say about this movie? It's a good movie. It looks cool. Had action. You know, can keep you interested. Very extreme take on global warming. You know, because of the ice age they had. It's a tough. I mean, how do you break this down? Okay, because there's classism in it, right? There's global warming, and there's a lot of underlying issues. It's exciting to see them rise up, and then at the same time, a shock to find out that at the end, it's a balanced system that works well for what it is, for them being in there. But it's a terrible shock to the psyche when you find out that that's how it's supposed to be for everybody to survive. But then to have it all tumble down and I guess escape the train and see what life is like in the thing. I'll be honest. I was like, movie was great, right? But I had an afterthought of like, you just fucking killed everybody. Except for maybe two people for sure.
It's possible.
I'm not saying that people might have not survived, but for sure, you got two people who walked out, and then like half the fucking train fell off the mountain. I'm just saying, if people survived, people survived. I was just like, wow, you just fucking killed everybody, and two people survived. It is what it is.
Did say that everybody died except for those people. Like that. Like it's not in the movie, but he did say like.
Yeah, that's what I expected.
There's like Adam and Eve. Everybody. Yeah, else is fucking
that's
dead.
What that's what I expected when I saw the end of it. When I saw the animals, so I'm like, animals survived, and you got like the last two people are gonna repopulate. That's the thought I had. I just like I said, I didn't know because I didn't know if it was one of those like left for interpretation things. But I was like, everybody's fucking dead, and you got like two people left. I'm like, well, I mean, it is what it is in the movie. Overall, I thought it was a good movie. It brought its points out, and it did them well, what it brought out. And it kept you excited, and it kept those things hidden till the very end. I mean, even though I kind of expected it a little bit, but it did well to keep them kind of under wraps. Because I was thinking to myself, it's going to go of two ways. It's either going to go that he's going to figure out that this whole thing was set up the whole time, or he's going to be the hero that just ends up walking away. It was one of two things. Like, I had, like, He had a right and a left to go through. Which one was he going to go through? That's what I saw when I saw at the end. But like I said, still a good movie. I'm just surprised they fucking killed everybody, I guess. Not bad surprise. I mean, I don't know what you guys think.
For me, like, I have been wanting to watch this. Even before Parasite, I've been wanting to watch this. So, and this, besides Parasite, is the only Bong Joon-ho movies that I've seen. So I could kind of see like a theme. Like, I don't know if the other ones, the other films have kind of like followed the same thing. But
Okja is the same kind of thing too.
Yeah, Okja. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Basically of their everything going right, like all the way towards like, the right middle. And then
wrong?
Huh?
They were like, no, so it always makes you feel right and then wrong.
Like basically everything going right and going to according to plan until something happens, and then it's just a trickling effect. Like, that's how Parasite kind of is. Like something is revealed. It's kind of like in this one, the big reveal is kind of like later on, except for Parasite, it was like right in the middle, but it's kind of still like a domino effect of things. And I think now knowing that he states that all of the except for those two lived, I guess it's kind of like a more, it goes back to like what I was saying about Juho's films kind of like kind of emphasizing on the morality of humans, and I guess of if what is better, humanity existing along the lines of this like balance, that this corrupted term of balance, or should Bandy just die? I guess that's what that message is kind of is, where there's no point in Bandy surviving if the whole definition of humanity is gone. And you kind of get that sense a little bit earlier in the film when Chris Evans' character Curtis is discussing what happened when they first got onto the train and the whole cannibalism and
that speech he gives. Know, holy shit.
You know, I had like heard it once before, but I had kind of forgotten it. But when he said like, I hate that I know. Yeah.
Can I say one thing though?
Yeah.
That speech, the only part that I didn't like about that speech was the eating the babies, right? But the rest of it about eating each other, I was like, well, that's how you survive. I don't know. I might be the only one who was like, well, that's not wrong. I mean,
it's like right? been, you yeah, feed, no, feed it is adult. Wrong. And that's you would why feed the, it
you would feed, well, no. You would feed the adults to the kids so the kids can survive. Yeah. Yes, cannibalism is wrong, but at the time there's no food, right? How do you survive? Does everybody die?
Or is it the good of their arms off? And...
Yeah. And that's why I was like, oh, I'm okay with that. I wasn't okay with like eating babies. I feel that's wrong. Things should be the other way around. But other than that, I'm like, to survive, you got to eat whatever's there.
Why am I laughing?
I agree with him.
There's a lot of dark humor in this movie.
No, I'm saying I saw him crying, and I was like, boy, you gotta eat humans, baby. That's how it goes.
But I think that's the whole thing. The whole point is that they had regressed in humanity. By eating babies is the definition of the loss of humanity.
What I was saying is like I think he went about it all wrong. He chose the wrong path with eating babies. What he should have done.
That was the eventual thing. They didn't start. They didn't start right out saying we ate the babies first.
Well, no, you could just ate anybody. What I'm trying to say is, boy, you fucked up. You went the easy route. Babies don't fight back.
Probably because he starts the speech with we ate the weak first. Sadly,
yeah, but the weak could have been anybody. What I'm saying is, fuck it, eat the fat ones first.
They ate the old and weak first.
But this is where they fucked up. You fatten people up and you eat them. You know, it's like cattle, right? Like,
but they had no food.
Yeah, the point is that the poor got fucked over by the rich, and they're all turning on each other.
I didn't see that. Alan, you're right. You're right. I see that. There was no food. Like, so obviously, Alan has a point. But you know what made it interesting, though? I will tell you this. Is now that I know that our babies are delicious, is what I'm saying.
I've been rewatching Hannibal, the TV series, so I'm just like, yeah. So when I saw it today, I rewatched it this morning. Me and my girlfriend were just like, babies taste the best. And we're like, well, how would Hannibal prepare that shit?
So I'm just like, eat the babies. Like I said, eat the babies, eat the people. I think it's wrong, but like to survive, things are done when to for survival. I mean, you can't blame them.
I think that's
like, you can't blame people for surviving.
It's still like, I mean, I think there is a case of cannibalism. I can't remember.
The Donner
it's
Party?
Like, no. It's not the Donner Party. It was like, like, I think they were just Christian. They got stuck in, like, yeah, coal, like, you know, their plane crashed in, like, the mountains in the Andes or something like that. And they had to, like, kill somebody.
Was it the soccer team?
I think so. Yeah, but basically they had...
I think you're thinking about the soccer team. Yeah. Yeah, that, like, they, like, ate each other or whatever.
Yeah.
Sounds vaguely familiar.
Well, one of them died and they had to eat them.
Yeah, because they were put in this position by the fucking people at the front who are, like, you know, like, having parties and shit.
It is a damaging to your mental state, and that's what you kind of feel.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, yeah. No. It'll mess you up. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It'll mess you up. I mean, eating another human will mess you up. But I think after you've eaten, like, two or three... I mean, you're already getting used to it. If we can all eat cows like crazy, I mean, eventually I'll be like, you know what? It's just another person. This guy wasn't that good. He was a little bit too much crystal.
Well, Fred, we know, like, whenever we're in the situation that you'll be in charge of the meat. I'll
fucking kill you guys. Kill you guys.
Oh, I'll be ready. I'm
worried. You guys are going to eat the white meat first. I'm very scared.
Well, if you are the weakest link, we will take you out. No, listen, there is a lot of...
Don't worry. I'll eat the babies first. Don't trip. They taste the best.
Well, what if it's just us in the mountain? There's no babies. Listen, I'll let you know that you can eat other stuff other than things like that. We're pretty resourceful Mexicans. We'll go find insects and eat them first. If there is nothing else to eat, though, I will let one of you guys die, and then we will begin to consume, is what I'm saying. So just survive longer than me. That's all I got to say.
Going back to my long forgotten point.
By all means.
Before we got on the tangent of eating each other. So for Bong Joon-ho's, like, his themes, at least what I've seen with this and Parasite, is kind of like a play on morality and then his cascading of, like, dominoes effects. So we get the sense of that happening. Chris Evans' speech early on, and it's just, it makes him essentially betraying Jamie Bell's character Edgar, like, so much worse, since that baby that it saved was Edgar, and then later on he still lets Edgar die. It's sad. It's that play on humanity and, like, his need for vengeance for all the things that situation has caused him to do in his life was stronger than saving his friend and the person that saved from him and before and who had looked up to him.
Yeah, he had to choose between the revolution and saving his friend, and he chose the
revolution. At that point, I would argue that
that's how I felt.
Wasn't a revolution to him. I think it was a sense of wanting justice for himself, for payback for himself.
You know, the way I kind of saw it a little bit was because of the eating and the stuff, like, this might be a different take, was just a survival instinct all the way through, just
that
trying
was a survival
to survive,
instinct,
trying to make
yeah.
Because, well, no, I mean, in the sense of, like, almost like a caged animal, because, like, every step of the way people were dying and he still kept moving forward and trudging forward, and it's almost like a caged animal that wants to be freed. And at the end, when he finally makes it to the train and realizes that it was all for nothing, it, like, broke him down finally.
Well,
what survival instinct do you have when you figure out that, oh, people dying is because you need to weed out, you're too many people, there's not enough food, you need to kill them because you can only have so many people on this train at all times. Obviously, yes, there's a class part, but at the same time, the way the guy makes it sound like is, we let you guys come in, kill a bunch of the folks in the front, we go kill folks in the back, then we got an even number, and then that's how it's known as, like, a war or something every once in a while. So not like just the class in the back dies. But then with his case, I felt like he was just like that warrior spirit of going through. He makes it to the end and realizes you were just part of the plan, dog. It just, how do you feel like a warrior or like a survivor when you just let everybody to die like cattle?
I didn't think of it like that. I thought of it more as like the greater good kind of thing. Like, he was like, okay, we planned this out. Everyone's worked together. I feel like everyone had nothing to lose. And everyone was like, hey, man, we're all doing this. Just if I die, but other people make it off, and like, you know, we take control of the front and we make the rules. I think that was like the
that was the main goal.
Die, to be like when Jamie Bell's character was dying, I feel like Chris Evans' character was kind of like, do I go be like, he was selfish either way, but not like in a bad sense. It was like, do I go be selfish and just go save my friend and be like, and ruin all those planning, or go ahead and keep moving on like we're supposed to do?
How do you say that?
Just keep pushing it.
Is it like, is it worth, what is it? Is one man worth
the squeeze?
No, that one's a really good line. No,
it's few worth the many.
Yeah, is the one worth the many or something like that? No,
the life of the one.
No, I wasn't going Spock. I mean, I know what you're trying to say, but no, it's another one. It's like a war thing where like, is can you sacrifice the many for just one or something like that? I can't remember.
I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, so yeah. you leave that one die because one is a sacrifice of one compared to the sacrifice of everybody. It's just, you know, it's too much.
The good of the many cannot outweigh the good of the
one. Yeah, yes. That's it. Yes. That's it. Mm-hmm.
That's Spock
it.
Said that. That's Spock.
Well, yes, yeah, but no, but it's essentially the saying, yes, but there's a saying for it. I can't remember it.
But basically, while he like sacrificed others, this is just my interpretation of it, is that he hadn't yet made a personal sacrifice, and even in his speech he was talking about like, I tried to cut off my own arm, but I couldn't go through with it, essentially. And it wasn't until him finding Octavius Spencer's son and like seeing him and saving him and losing his arm that it kind of felt like he's finally personally like given something to this cause. And I interpret it as like a regaining of humanity and what is right. He almost turned to like, no, like he was gonna lose his humanity because he was thinking about taking the position of Ed Harris's character,
Wolford,
yeah, and
then he gets turned to carne asada.
And so yeah, so it was kind of like his final act of his last bit of humanity, my opinion. It's like going back to what I said is like a regaining that lost humanity. He kind of like has the rest of the world to perish, but still like it, what is better is a world without humanity or a world with little humanity left, I guess.
I mean, yeah. I gotta assume that there's hope in humanity because he does leave two at the end alive.
Yeah, like humanity's exactly. Not done.
Yeah.
I don't know. Alan, if you wanted to go, I have a lot to say. I'm just gonna talk for a while. I don't know if you wanted to go first, Alan.
Sure. I mean, I'd seen it before. I saw it a couple years ago. I think it was like on Amazon Prime or something. And coincidentally, everyone was telling me it's super underrated. You're gonna like it. Blah blah blah. And I was like, okay, maybe I'll do a podcast in the future about that. So pretty much I watched it when I first saw it. I was like, that was all right. Like, I enjoyed it for what it was. I thought it was kind of like overhyped. Rewatching it again after a while, kind of like having it die down, I kind of was like, you know what? It's a little better than I remember. I think the things that bothered me weren't really the story. It was just more the logic of like the train. Like, I constantly had questions about the train. I'm like, how does that work? How does this work?
I think there was definitely cars that we did not see because, like, well, where do these people stay? Like, there has to be,
Yeah, I think, ran through more cars than what it seemed like, right? Because this train seems long as shit when they're doing that scene when they're shooting each other, right? Mm-hmm. But when you see them run through the train, it feels like they went through four cars and then they're at the end.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but there's a scene where, like, they kind of show, like, a big shot of the train kind of doing like a big turn.
Mm-hmm.
It was after like the New Year's thing, mm-hmm. the New Year's fight. And I was kind of looking, I was like, all right, it looks like there's about like 20 cars, but you never see the end. Like that shot, you didn't see the end of it. So I was like, this thing has to be at least 40 cars, at least 40 cars. Cause like this thing is like
It had to have been like at least one day's travel because they slept in one of the cars.
That's true. Yeah, it had to be huge because like there were times where I was like, well, how would this work? How would that work? And I was like, and then you see everybody partying in like the rave, and then you see people partying in like the classy 1940s murder on a mystery train kind of looking cab. And then it was like, all right, like I was kind of like, do you guys just party and sleep there? And you're just like, fuck it, I guess this is what I'm doing for the rest of my life on the train.
Well, and then they had that aquarium one, and then
that one. Where I went, that's where I was like, okay.
I was like, this is the aquarium of the Pacific.
But truthfully, I think there's a train that is like that.
Oh, that's an aquarium.
That's an aquarium.
Oh, I mean, it's possible. I don't think it's not. I mean, they didn't. Wasn't it Pimp My Ride that put a fish tank in a car? I mean, I guess you can do anything.
Yeah, I think they did.
Exhibit.
Yeah.
But no, I mean that I was more just like about the logic of the train. I think that was my biggest gripe with it. Was I was just like, I kind of wish they delved more into the train because I was like, I think that's what got me interested in the film in the first place. Is I was like, a train that goes around the world and fits the last of humanity. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, people were telling me, oh, there's a cab that looks like this. There's a cab that looks like that. And I was like, okay, I was hoping for more explanation, but I mean, that's not the main importance of it.
No.
But I mean, story wise, like acting, everybody was great. Chris Evans, Tilda Swinton, like I really liked their performances the most. Ed Harris was kind of a surprise. I was like, oh, okay. But I think the other thing that kind of made me question the this was kind of more of like a, I wanted to bring it up to you guys because I was kind of thinking, is it really considered underrated? Because this was my thing. There's a show now for the film.
Yeah.
Now there's a TV show.
Oh, I know.
It's not really based on, it's based more on the comic or the graphic novel, I think.
No, it's based on the movie. It's based on the movie.
It's not the same characters. It's not Curtis.
It's not one of the other revolters. Time to our boy, the train. They're finally giving him his limelight.
It's actually David Diggs is the main character. There's also a different like Swinton like character. It's not the Tilda Swinton character.
It's like a reboot. It's not like a continuation of the movie.
It's like it's like a reboot. Yeah, because that was my one question was like, can it be considered underrated? Like, since it spawned something? Because I always kind of figured in my head when a film is underrated, it's kind of just below the radar. Nobody really knows about it. We're trying to get people to give it a try. So when I kind of like, when this was brought up, I was kind of thinking about that because the film that I kind of wanted to bring up for the longest time was What We Do in the Shadows, which I think is pretty underrated, but issue with it now is it's gaining popularity because now it has a show, which I'm also like super into, and the show's really good. So I'm kind of like, can it be underrated now? Because I think the show's based on the film.
Did that come out more from not really the film, but the notoriety of the directors, like in this case, like Bong Joon-ho with Parasite and with What We Do in the Shadows, Taika Waititi with Ragnarok and Jojo Rabbit. What really sparked the creation of these shows, the movie itself, of course, there's a part of it, but was it ultimately come down to the popularity of the director/writer?
That's true. So that's another thing, too. I was like, is it not because of the film, or is it because of, like you said, director of Parasite, and then Taika Waititi.
Well, the thing it always goes like this. That's always going to be a subjective thing because if you go with, for example, if you want to go with a metric of how a movie did when it first came out, right? Because you know how you have these movies that get this cult status later on in its life. If you want to go with, we base it off of the time when they weren't popular, which might be when they were first released, and you go with that metric, well, then they were underrated at the time, even though maybe, whatever, 10 years down the road when we're going to pick this up now, let's just say, or 20 years or whatever it is, it now has some kind of cult status where everybody knows about it. It makes it a tough one. Do you pick it because of the metric when it first came out and how it did bad? Or you just deny it because of it having so popular and people already know about it? I think it's a subjective thing. You know, it depends.
On how, let me put in my two cents real fast, because I think that Like I think really honestly, the reason there's the show and it's like getting this kind of renewal and everybody knows, like people knew about it, but I feel like a lot of people didn't see it, like myself included. But when Parasite came out, everyone's like, oh yeah, Snowpiercer. Okay, like maybe we'll make a show out of it. Like it's getting a lot of buzz. I think if we had, like a year ago, this movie was like more of an under the radar movie. Like, and I think it would qualify for that. I think now,
even if Parasite just came out, it would have still been okay because like we could say any of the Bong Joon-ho movies that have come before Parasite are considered like under the radar because people will see Parasite, but
hold on, I think this is like this was kind of like his big American debut, you know, and then he had a Netflix movie that was in Korean and then he had Parasite, but those movies are both in Korean. Like this is like his big American movie, so I do think it feels different than, you know, like The Host or something before this.
Yeah, because I was gonna say The Host as well,
and I think
is a big thing.
Yeah, like I think
Train to Busan.
Yeah, and I think so. In the last year, this movie has had kind of a renaissance. So I think we're kind of hitting it in its peak, or as it's kind of coming up and becoming much less underrated. So, you know, like everybody was saying, it's kind of a subjective thing. I think, you know, if we had done this like as an episode when we first started the podcast, it would maybe be a little less questionable. But I think it's still, we can still slide it in. Like when you mentioned it, I was like, okay, I don't think Snowpiercer is underrated, but I think it works enough that we could talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely agree with that. I feel like the underrated tag is always going to be subjective. Like, there might be some people who are like, they're talking about, you know, they're talking about Snowpiercer.
Well, okay, but like, it goes like this. Did we not do one on The Evil Dead?
The remake, yeah.
I know. I'm saying that, but I'm saying, but the name itself has spawned that movie.
The Evil Dead was going on at the same time.
That's what I'm trying to say. It's subjective things. Yes,
then that was the original.
It's just, I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, we're going to put out what we're going to put out, right? What we feel is underrated. That's ultimately what our metric is. Maybe to somebody else, like you said, to somebody else, it might not be. Like I said, that Evil Dead movie, there might be people who are like Evil Dead fans who are like, what are you talking about? I watch everything that has an Evil Dead title on it.
Mm-hmm.
They're all great, and they're all, you know, whatever. I think the metric is, at the end of the day, what we feel as a group is underrated, and that's what we're putting out.
It might also be that people, since it is a reboot of the franchise, the show, people might just be watching the show and just have come across it.
Just came. It's like in the middle of first season.
It's, I think there's only been like 3 episodes. It's on TNT. I've been meaning to watch it, but I've been wanting to watch the movie first.
Because you're actually right, you're pretty right about that. Because now thinking about it, Fargo, which is pretty universally praised from what I know of, like people love the Coen brothers and they love Fargo. And I enjoyed the Fargo film, but I remember when they released the show, I actually met a lot of people who were like, oh my God, I love that show. And I was like, have you seen the movie? And they're like, I've never even heard of it. So, I mean, yeah, I guess it could be where, like, if anything, them releasing the show is trying to get them to kind of have people appreciate the original, the source material, like where it came from. So just like with Snowpiercer, What We Do in the Shadows and all that, it might be a thing of them being like, hey, well, like this came from something. Why don't you go back and give that a try too? Maybe the creators of the shows themselves are thinking, hey, it's underrated. Why not give it a little love? So. Yeah, I mean, it was just more of a question to throw out there because I had been thinking about it. Because there's some picks that I thought too where I'm like, well, maybe it's underrated, but maybe there's a comic book based on it, or there's a straight to DVD movie or Netflix streaming show, or a video game like The Witcher. Like The Witcher 3 especially is huge now. Everybody knows about The Witcher, but when The Witcher came out, I didn't know what it was based on. I thought it was an original IP. But then, you know, one of our buddies tells us, oh, no, dude, it's based on books. And I'm like, oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, everybody came and bought that fucking book at the bookstore once that show came out. We were sold out forever.
Yeah, I mean, it's at its phases. Everybody that's played the games like Witcher 1, 2, and 3, well, they already knew about it. So when the show came out, it was a big thing. A lot of those guys tend to go back to the books because of the video games. But then you have, a segment that just watched TV. That's their first time. That's what happened to the resurgence of the video game. Like Witcher 3 ended up becoming like the number one played video game on like Steam as soon as the show came out because everybody went and played the games. to find out what's going on. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like,
it's just making money. Like, it happens.
It, you know, things like that do tend to like push people back to go, oh, I didn't know they had other stuff. So yes, the TV shows and another movie from a director. I mean, it's always going to happen with no matter what movies we do or what we're going to do. There's always the chance that they made something huge after or before or whenever we're doing the podcast. Someone does a huge hit movie, and next thing you know, everybody, you know, let's say the new Fast and the Furious, for example. It's going to be like, what, like 9 or something like that? Let's say this is the biggest hit ever. There's people who probably haven't even seen one or the others.
I haven't.
They well, I might... mean, going with Fast and Furious, John Chu like directed Crazy Rich Asians.
Well, yeah, no, but I'm saying like as an example, you know, let's say people never watched it, and all of a sudden it makes $30 billion, and you're like, what? And then all of a sudden people go, wow, there's not eight other movies before this. Well, let me go watch them. I mean, that stuff does happen when you get a hit on your hands. That's going to happen. People are going to be like, well, I want to see what else they made. It's always going to be a thing. You can't always like I said, we can't. Write that as a metric for why the movie is underrated or not. You know, we got to go with it. If this wasn't that super hot before, I mean, yeah, the TV show might make it hotter now. Maybe Parasite did, but the movie itself, itself, because we're only grading the movies as the movie is. We're not grading it on all the other stuff that came after it or stuff like that. I mean, and like you always say, we can always make the call and say, hey, maybe it's too popular. Maybe, you know, maybe not. Mm-hmm.
It was just something I kind of wanted to bring up in discussion because I was like, because again, like I said, I had my own ideas of what like films we could talk about or stuff like that, but I kind of go, where's the balance between like it's already based on an original IP or, you know, it's an adaptation of an original film, a video game or book. That's kind of where I was like, I wanted your guys' opinions on it kind of thing.
Yeah.
But
This is definitely like an outlier now, but I think it still could be considered in the realm. Like it's kind of like toting that line right now.
I've never seen it before this time. I mean, I've heard of it. People have told me I should watch it. And I was just always like, nah. And so, you know, podcast made me watch it. So I saw it.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, Derek. All right, man. The floor is all yours.
So, like, I was saying, I have a lot to say about this movie because, like, since I watched it, I think 2 or 3 days ago, it's pretty much all I've been thinking about is just this movie. And I think that we really picked the right time to watch this movie. It feels so much more relevant in 2020, in like the times we're living through right now, than probably 2013 when it first came out. And because it was one movie, like, I think if I had watched it originally when it came out, like, Alan, you said you had it, wouldn't have hit me as hard. But, like, you know, now with revolutions, like, going protesting going around the world and Black Lives Matter and all these things happening, people, are like, hey, the social class system is fucked. This is all really bad. And watching it with that context, I think, really, really made the movie impact me so much more. I think that it's... like you guys were all talking about the way that it handles revolution and kind of Chris Evans like methodically moving up the train is very interesting. And then you have that twist at the end where it's like, oh yeah, this revolution was all planned. You were originally supposed to just kind of get to the hatchet guys and they were supposed to stop you there. And it was, you know, like I like that they have that scene where they're in the sushi car and they're like, it's everything's balanced. Because that's, you know, obviously a really big foreshadowing scene about how the train is like that. It's a closed ecosystem. But what I think like the film is really saying is that like, yeah, you have these revolutions and, you know, like they have these kind of like uprisings and you're trying to, where people are trying to advance in the system. And Chris Evans does, he gets to the end and he basically has an opportunity to, you know, just take over this system and kind of like be the new head of it. But the movie is saying shouldn't be the goal. You shouldn't be trying to advance in the system. You should change, just like keep the status quo while sort of just changing things for yourself and, like, you know, rearranging the social classes. You need to just blow up the whole fucking thing. You need to take down the corrupt system itself. Like, everyone's advancing in the train, but they're still in the train. You're still, even the people that are living like this life of luxury are still trapped in this train. And the ending, when they like blow it all up and everybody dies except for two people, humanity really has a chance to start over, because like if they don't, that's all humanity is just on this train that's slowly kind of decaying and, you know, taking more child labor to like fuel it. And, you know, rather than just reorganizing everything, it's like a fresh start. There's lots of other like little things in there that I like too. Like, I like, there's a lot of biblical metaphors. Obviously, you know, we talked about the Adam and Eve stuff at the end. There's obviously a lot of Noah's Ark stuff. Wilford is kind of like almost a God figure. And, you know, you have, John Hurt's character is kind of like almost an older Noah-like figure. I like a lot of the like weird quirky humor that he inserts in here, like the zooms and stuff, or like how everybody stops and says Happy New Year.
I was actually going to say something about that. Yeah. Real quick. That was kind of a hit or miss for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that there's that, especially that scene with the whole like, oh, it's Happy New Year, da 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 da. And I was like, even the second time watching it, I was like, okay. Like, it went from being like this really gritty, revolutionary like film to being like, it reminded me of like Hunger Games. Like, I was like, did this become a YA novel? Like, you know, because her hair is, you know, Tilda Swinton's so like animated, and then they're like, stop, you know, this is what we do, and, you know, dystopian and all that. It just felt very like gritty and then Hunger Games-y. I don't know how to explain, just YA, which I fucking hate, but
I feel like they like took it more in a way of like no man's land kind of situation in real world wars. Mm-hmm. Of like, right, we have to stop a ceasefire for a few seconds to like note the new year, and then mm-hmm. then continue on. I think it might have been a bit more impactful, but I think Bong Joon-ho kind of like has that style. He throws in that kind of style once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's moments in like Parasite that are kind of similar to that. Mm-hmm. That is not like popped.
He perfected it. He perfected it in Parasite.
Yeah,
for sure. Like, I loved how he did it in Parasite.
But like with the one thing that comes to mind is the peach part. That whole sequence mm-hmm. is kind of similar to this. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
But what I think my favorite thing about that scene is, if you kind of like think about it, it's that they're basically getting, you don't ever see really other than like two or three people who are just kind of like the enforcers, the class, until they riot at the end, don't really ever fight the poor. What they get is the middle class to do it. Those guys with the hatchets also think that there's no bullets. They're basically, the rich are just like, oh, your way of life is getting encroached on by this poor class, so you got to go out and hack them up. And you know, then they're so like indoctrinated that when they're dying on the floor, they're just like, Happy New Year. And I think that is another big commentary he's making, that it's like, yeah, you have the people at the front that are just protected, but then you have the people who kind of have a good life that just want to see that way of life preserved. And they don't want the people have a worse life than them coming up. Even if they don't have the best life, they know they've got it better than someone else, and they're keeping them back. And I think that this film and a lot of, I like YA films, and I think what a lot of movies like this and like The Hunger Games do is they take real social issues and like stuff like the X-Men does this really well too, and put it in like a science fiction world and are able to comment on things. And even if it's not something that's like directly about it, like, you know, this movie was obviously not made about what's happening right now, but I think, you know, like them blowing up the train at the end is a drastic measure. And everything's being changed. And it reminded me a lot this morning when I saw that they just are abolishing the Minneapolis Police Department. That's a huge change. It's not like, oh, we're kind of just taking small reforms and doing this. No, like, we're blowing it up. And like, I think sci-fi can be a really great tool in that respect.
I think now with the reboot, it might be a bit more impactful and more relevant to today, while Chris Evans' character is amazing and things like that. But the new main character in the show is played by David Diggs, like I said before. And if you don't know him, he's Lafayette, Thomas Jefferson in Hamilton. He originated that part. He also wrote and created a movie called Trainspotting, which I really think that I would recommend as an underrated film. Which also one? Trainspotting.
Oh, there's a Trainspotting. Yeah. I was like,
yeah. No. It's Blindspotting. That he created about
It's a movie about spotting blind people.
Urban Oakland.
Starring Charlie Cox.
No, I said it's a movie about spotting blind people, because it's Blindspotting.
I think it literally, it's literally that. It's because you blind. Yeah, because you blind. It's a term called blind spotting, where you blind spot a black person and think that
I have clairvoyance.
Yeah, like the girl in Snowpiercer.
I was
So with him playing the main character in the show, it's this story that's already relevant to today's culture and what's going on to now. It's going to become even more relevant with him being the main character. Because of the whole revolution that's going on right now, so I'm gonna start watching that too. I've been wanting to watch the movie first and then watch that, so I'm excited because I am a really big fan of Davy Diggs.
Yeah, I'm interested in the show now too, for sure, after watching the movie.
So, Alan, what about the clairvoyant girl?
Oh yeah, no, this is just a general thing. What's up with like dystopian future films and shows where? Like, I don't know why, but it's like embedded in the science fiction genre that in the future, it is guaranteed we're going to have telekinetics, telepathics, or clairvoyance. It's always like that. It's always in the future, too.
Might be like a play on
2003. Psychics are part of the police force, and they do this, and dystopian LA or whatever the fuck. And I'm like, how did they get psychics? Like,
I think it might be kind of like an evolution of it's more of an evolution of like the deja vu kind of feeling. Yeah. I guess they could play on that, but it came out of nowhere. Was it based on the drugs or was it her or what?
I want to say it's more of that like survival instinct, you know, where you feel like, oh, somebody's watching me, kind of thing. Like you turn around, you feel like. But you feel like you have eyes. It almost seems like that girl has that, like she has that, like almost like a sixth sense. Like she gets this eerie feeling of like something's we're in danger, or like that's why she feels all calm, like, oh, everything's cool. And then she's like, oh, there's some danger. I can feel something. I can sense something. Some people got a good sense for danger, but he takes it as, oh, you're an X-Men, and it's more like I'm like,
she has spidey sense. She got bitten by a radioactive train spider.
She gets a little yellow exclamation point above her head.
And she's like, Chrono? Or whatever the fuck.
I honestly blame Philip K. Dick. I think that's the reason. Is because he would write shit like Minority Report and Total Recall, where, like, in the future, there's always, like, somebody, like, humans are mutants or whatever. Like, the children of, like, people who are addicted to drugs, they can like tell the future or predict future murders, and
Man in the High Castle.
Okay. Yeah. So he's so like all of our sci-fi today is so much, especially like near future sci-fi, is taken from Philip K. Dick. That I feel like that is one of the things that's really just trickled through. Mm-hmm. Like I never thought about that before, but I think that's why.
Yeah, because I watched the Electric Dreams. It's based on Philip K. Dick's like stuff. It's on Amazon Prime, and like it's all right. I think it's trying to be like Black Mirror almost. But with like Philip K. Dick stories, but yeah, almost every other episode, there's just like, so we're at, the year is 2007 and London, and you know the police need psychics because the psychics can figure out who the criminals are, and or then like Minority Report where they're like, we need to know when they're gonna attack or when they're gonna murder. So we can prevent it.
Was it Minority Report though, like a computer that could figure it out?
No, it was three twins.
Oh, okay.
It was two twins and then a girl.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I can't remember that movie in a long
time. Even like spoiler alert too, if you've never seen Man of the High Castle, really good show on Amazon Prime. Go and watch it. But even that, when you think that it's just like, okay, it's this twisted possible history that we could have had if Japan and basically the Axis powers, Japan and Nazi Germany, won World War II. Then it turns out to be a sci-fi, and like there's all this is just an alternate universe to our universe, Mandela and things effect. Like that. Yeah. Damn it! No. Now we're going on Philip K. Dick.
I think he's revolutionary, but that's why he gets copied so much. But yeah, I don't know. I think this is a great movie. I really liked it. I'm really glad I waited to watch it. As the years went on, I heard about it. I was like, oh, I should probably watch that. And then I saw Parasite. And I was like, oh, I should check out Snowpiercer. And then they announced the show. And I was like, I should really watch it. Then as soon as you suggested it, Ariel, I was like, You know, I don't even care if it's not underrated. I want to fucking watch this movie. Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, I think that, like, their movies, like, if you want to consider, like, really, really underrated ones that I haven't seen personally, but they're, if you want to go into more depth of Bong Joon-ho, there's, Okja-jai, Train to Busan, which is Okja.
Yeah.
Okay, Okja, sorry. Train to Busan, which is considered by a good amount of people who have watched it as one of the best zombie movies.
Yeah, I keep getting told to watch it. They're like, bro, you're going to love it, you're going to love it. But I've had, like, zombie fatigue for a very long time, so I'm kind of like, I'll get to it.
And then there's The Host, which is kind of like a twist on a monster movie.
It's like a kaiju like type of film.
Like a twist, but it's a twist on a kaiju because I guess it's a little bit deeper. Because it starts off with, like, I think the premise is, like, after his daughter's murder or something like that. But yeah, I would go and check all those out. They kind of like they all have Song Kang Ho, who's kind of like the Johnny Depp to Bong Joon-ho's my gosh, I can't remember. Tim Burton, thank you.
He's his muse. Yeah.
That one guy.
He's the De Niro or DiCaprio, depending on which era of Scorsese you're talking about.
Yeah, those ones are definitely under the radar, if you want to go in depth of Bong Joon-ho.
I did definitely want to give The Host a shot. I do want to watch that one.
Yeah. But I would recommend it. Definitely to anybody. It's on Netflix, so go out there and watch it. What would you guys say?
I haven't actually seen it. I'm just saying.
These are ones that I'm saying. Snowpiercer.
No, I think Snowpiercer.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, especially, you gotta watch it.
Yeah, definitely. If you want to gain a sense of a movie that kind of asks, like, the class system and just like Eric was saying about you know, the 1% kind of controlling the actions and the even the choices of the lower class. And I definitely would recommend it. And especially if you want to watch the show, I would always recommend watching the source material before you watch something that delves into it, just to give the source material its recognition.
Yeah, I would say it's a good movie. Go ahead and watch it. If you're triggered by this stuff that's going on right now, though, I would maybe say steer away from it for a little bit, because this does deal, like, it will it'll give you some PTSD with that stuff. But if you're good with it, I mean, I say why not watch it? It's a good movie. And just overall, it's a good movie, you know?
Pretty much exactly what Fred said. I mean, you know, I second time around, I think maybe that's why I dug it a little bit more, because it was a little more relatable to what was going on. I usually don't like to involve myself with, like, kind of the politics of stuff like that, so I'm kind of more like, hey, you know what, I think, yeah, like exactly like Fred said, you know, give it a watch. It's good. If you like Parasite, which, you know, it's on Hulu, everybody's been watching Parasite, give this one a shot. You'll kind of see his directing style, kind of like in like the previous years, like, you'll kind of like Parasite, like I said, he just did all of those, like, different genres so well. This is kind of like him getting up to that point, which is one of my favorite things of watching filmmakers, is seeing from when they went back, or what they have now, what people consider a masterpiece. And then you go back and watch their old stuff, and you can see the themes and the genres and everything. Like, they're trying to mix them together and give them this, like, pizzazz to it. But yeah, I'd say give it a shot.
And also, if you want to see that Severn's act more than just Captain America, I definitely recommend this movie as well as Knives Out.
I want to watch
Knives Out too.
And Sunshine.
What was the movie where he had a, was it a banana in between his butt cheeks?
It's not another teen movie.
I would recommend his Academy Award winning movie. Not another teen movie.
I'm not gonna lie, I low key think that's kind of underrated now. It's kind of,
Nobody talks about it.
Definitely among, like, the whole, like, scary movies, like, gaining more popularity.
The
that movie
stuff?
It's a lot better than Scary Movie.
Yeah, it's the best of those kind of movies. I feel like
I would say that type of film. I think Scary Movie, the first one.
First one and the second one might be okay.
The first two, yeah, I agree with that. The first two and Not Another Teen Movie are, like, the bar of, like, really good parody Pretty. Films of this century. But right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Hit that subscribe button on your podcasting app to make sure you're always notified when a new episode of this show comes out, and continue to hear us babble. And please, if you're willing to give us a rating and review, it really helps and lets us know what else you'd like to hear from us in this podcast, because we can only get better with your help. Once again, we are the Undercast Company. Also, if you're looking for a convention, not so much right now, but once things gain and we're allowed to be in social gatherings, then, and other nerdy content, please check out Nerd Incorporated pages on social media at Nerd Incorp. And if you're looking for some Marvel discussions, please check out our other podcasts of Infinity Stones and Dragon Bones, and hopefully we'll get back to that once some new information, and probably touch a bit since the beginning of the final season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just started, so you might go back and talk about that. But this COVID-19 thing kind of has put a wrench on a good amount of stuff like that. So we also have some new projects coming around the corner. I'm developing a podcast called You've Never Seen, which is discuss pop culture and cinematically known movies that at least one of us have never seen. So watch out for that. And Derek is also developing a show. Derek, you want to talk about it?
Sure, yeah. I'm working on a show called Gateway Episodes. The premise is that, you know, you'll be telling somebody, oh, you've got to watch this show, it's so good, and you'll say, you know, I'll show you this episode. This episode just encapsulates everything that's great about the show. So you'll show them that episode, and either they'll get into the show or they won't. And so each episode of Gateway Episodes, it's something that either I've seen that I'm showing someone to get them into a show, or a show that somebody else loves that they're showing me to get me into the show, where we kind of just watch that one episode and talk about how it really encapsulates the show and how it might get someone into the show.
And we'll all be back soon for another underrated film, so stay tuned, and thanks for being amazing.
Later.
Take it easy, guys. And then one last thing I thought of. I just kind of wish I could see Chris Evans and his Captain America suit.
Right.
And just pulls up a chair and he's like, so, he got stuck in the train. And that's it.
All right.
See you guys in another life.
Take it easy.
Bye.